appreciate the chance to discuss this topic, and I think you're going to see some similarities. So I'll just kind of head on through this. There we go. So as I had an outline that Hank provided back in the summer, and you'll see several of these kind of questions that he proposed when he sent the note about this session. So let me just kind of walk through these. First thing I'll talk about is, you know, what is the focus of our cotton breeders? And Joel hit on this, Mike hit on this, and it's really about meeting market needs. And of course those needs vary by market. So as any program would have, you need to understand that market. It's going to be different for a product that's going to go to, say, a South Georgia market versus a product that's going to go to a Texas Panhandle, a far northern plains market. Obviously, different needs, different issues there. And really, what we're looking to do is improve that pipeline material as our breeders. Their goal is to improve that pipeline material, that material coming through versus the commercial checks, you know, for those critical parameters. And again, those parameters are going to vary by market. Really, we're talking about, and the term's already been thrown out, genetic gain. Yield drives a lot of these decisions, but of course, the other agronomics, native traits, having the right disease package with these materials is going to be a very critical aspect in any set of experimental, in any advancement decisions that are made. Next question, you know, what criteria do breeders look for in advancing those varieties? I mean, there's a short list, and certainly yield is more than just yield. It's also yield stability. It's about how repeatable that yield performance is. Fiber quality has become a much bigger part each year of our advancements, and I'll show just a couple example slides at the end. The agronomic traits for a market that needs storm tolerance, for a market that needs particular maturity. Those are really important aspects and important traits to bring, as is disease tolerance. Had a really good discussion earlier in the session on several new diseases, and certainly in some cases that native trait can bring disease tolerance or disease resistance, and that's important to include in these in the breeding effort, screening for those, including those, getting all those native traits stacked together with the right yield and fiber quality. You know, this is the classic upside down cone or the funnel. Beginning with early generation testing, and certainly I think we all recognize you're going to go from having a lot of entries and few trials at the beginning to later on in later generations moving on toward fewer entries, more trials, and more environments. I think one thing that's really changed over the course of my career is moving from old school breeding without a lot of the tools. Joel mentioned several, around genomics and marker breeding, marker-aided selections. And certainly the data analytics, the ability to understand full data sets is really critical as companies move through large piles or large numbers of entries and make the right decisions. So that's certainly one thing that's changed. But I think the other thing that's changed, and I've got it there toward the bottom of the funnel, moving out toward a Delta Pine variety would be that NPE program, the New Product Evaluator program, been very critical in our advancement decisions. When that was first put on the table, that we would actually allow the growers, the NPE growers, to vote for what got advanced, I was a little hesitant. I mean, I'm a data guy, and I want to look at the data. But growers, when they're managing these lines in their fields, they see things that we don't always see, and it's just a strong and a good confirmation as we make those decisions and make sure that we're ground truthing and making the right decisions and balancing the data with what the growers are seeing. So a couple more questions that Hank posed. How is this decision made as to which varieties go to market? Touched already a little bit on the NPE program for Delta Pine. That's the final step. They're larger commercial plots. one of the most important parts of that data that we include there is the commercial ginning data, the recaps there, and like I just said, the growers vote for those advancements. We also, of course, align that with our data sets and ground truth that with the grower feedback we get. So what happens to those varieties that are not advanced to Delta Pine? Now, probably most of you are aware there's also a licensee program that we run, and if something that there was not a need for Delta Pine in a Delta Pine bag, if there's a need that a licensee has, then that opportunity is there for us to license that particular germplasm to one of our licensees. So that's also an avenue of to get this, in many cases, very good germplasm out to the market. Maybe good germplasm that the Delta Pine brand already has a fit or has a variety to fulfill that market need. How long does that take? Pre-commercial testing, we've heard some different numbers tossed around here. I'd say in general, probably 5 to 7 years. That includes the variety development and then through the back crossing program and then that final testing in the traded version, NPE and commercialization, 1 to 2 years, right as we move those products out to market. One other question that Hank raised, what about seed quality parameters? How are they measured and what measures are taken to ensure high quality? Well, that's probably as much a production question, which we don't have time to really address today. But I'd say one of the things that our breeders have done a great job in some of our recent classes, you can see our class of 20 candidates and even our class of 21 candidates versus the Delta Pine commercialized varieties on average, we're seeing a trend toward larger seed size. And of course, larger seed size, I think, is a good basis for many environments to have a more robust, a more vigorous seed, although certainly some environments can handle smaller seed size. So our breeders are doing a great job not only bringing improved yields and improved quality, but also improved seed size to help some of those real challenges early in the year. And just to finish up, I wanted to touch, these are a couple slides out of a presentation I did last year. I've had the good fortune to have a large data set on Delta Pine germplasm that Tom Kirby started back in the early days in my career at Delta Pine, and then I've continued that data set. And just looking at year of release versus both, in this case, lint yield and fiber length. One of the real challenges that any breeder encounters in many cases is that trade-off between fiber yield or lint yield and fiber quality. And I'm just using fiber length as a proxy. And there are a number of examples of when we've taken a yield step in lint yield, a product like 555, great yielder, had great fit in certain markets, but not the best fiber quality. A product like 0912, great yielder, but not the best the best fiber quality. In some cases, particularly, it tended to be a little bit on the higher mic side. 1646 really seemed to break that mold. So our breeders have done a great job in combining yield and quality. Do we have all the markers there? Is that a simple thing to punch in and say, hey, we need this combination? Maybe some of those tools help, but certainly just the size of the pipeline and the commitment to bringing these new products through a robust breeding approach, I think, are the biggest factors. So just to summarize and finish up, I think certainly the our breeders have done a great job in looking at the right selection criteria. The field studies are the basis of all the advancement decisions, but certainly validated with our NPE program. And our recent classes, I think, for example, products like 1646 and some of the class of 18 products show that you can bring those products that have a great combination of yield and fiber quality together. With that, I'll stop. Thank you. You bet.
Thanks so much.